We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
Amen and amen. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord on New Year's Eve. I know many of you could have been somewhere else today, but you chose to take time out of your schedule and be in the house of the Lord. And I thank you for that. And I believe that there is going to be a blessing in that for you today, because I believe the Lord has given me a word for you today in this season and in this moment. And I'm going to get right into the word today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me very quickly to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. And I'll begin reading there in verse 12. I don't want to hold you long today. I know many of you have plans. You got things going on, family and friends and food. And I don't want to hold you very long today. It's so good today to have one of our very good friends, Sister Dinesha Gates, in the house with us. Dinesha, we love you, and we're so grateful you're here today. This is an old North Carolina friend back in the day. And so blessed to have her with us today. Exodus 33, beginning in verse 12. If you have it, just shout, I got it. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Somebody say, show me thy way. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also which thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory shall pass by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This morning, in this transition from one year to a next, in this moment, leaving one thing and entering into another thing, I want to preach to you about the power of his past. The power of his past. Can we pray together? Lord, we love you so much, and we're so thankful that your goodness follows us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you have been so good to us today to allow us one more time in your presence in 2023. And Lord, I pray today that you will use me as an oracle of your word to preach the gospel and to preach your word to your people. And Lord, we'll be so careful to give you the praise and glory. I pray that we will not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word also. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for whatever happens next. And in Jesus' name we pray. And with a church shout, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Would you clap your hands as you're seated to the Lord? If you have paid attention to the scriptures, if you've ever read the book of Exodus, then you'll know that Exodus 32 is one of the low points of the children of Israel. God has delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, set them free from over 400 years of slavery, given them a new lease on life, brought them out of the miry clay, set their feet on the rock to stay, brought them into a new land, bringing them into a new land, a promised land, a land that has always been theirs by the covenant made between God and Abraham. And now he's brought them out very quickly. We see that they're not even out of the wilderness for more than a chapter, and they're already complaining and grumbling. The Bible will call them murmurers and a stiff-necked people. And we get to this place that we're at now, and Moses has set up the tabernacle, and Moses has already been on the mountain, and God has given him the law, and now God has told him, I will write the law for you. Come meet me on the mountain, and I will write the law for you. That way, what I've told you, you can write down and give to the people. And while Moses is on the mountain meeting with God in chapter 32 of the book of Exodus, before God can even give the law, the first commandment has been broken. Have no other gods before thee. The children of Israel have already done exactly what God asked them not to do. The first commandment's already been broken. Before Moses can even take the law down and show them, they've already broken the first commandment. They've already broken God's covenant. They've already broken God's law. And they got Aaron to create for them a god, a calf made of gold. And they are already bowing down and worshiping it. And they've already reached another whole level where they've gotten themselves naked and are shouting and worshiping in front of this golden calf. And it's a mess. Yeah. It's a low point. Not only have they complained and not only have they murmured, but now they've turned their back on God, the God that delivered them and the God that brought them out, and they're worshiping a golden calf in the sight of God. And the Levites pull their swords, and 3,000 members of the Hebrew nation die that day because of God's anger and wrath. And God is mad, and God says, I want to kill them all. And God says, Moses, I'm going to kill all your people. And Moses says, oh, no. These ain't my people. These your people. Right. Every mother and father have had this conversation before. Them ain't my kids, them your kids. No, they're your kid. That's your side of the family right there. What they doing right now, that's your family. Moses and God are having an argument on top of the mountain, and Moses saying, them your kids, and he saying, no, them your kids. They didn't learn this from me, they learned this from you. In the midst of all that, Moses is having this moment with God, and we transition into Exodus 33. And in Exodus 33, God makes him a promise. He says, I'm going to go with you. And Moses has this moment with God. God is giving him instruction. He's telling him exactly what he's going to do. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to give you the land of the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites. And I'm going to give it to you. And my presence is going to go up before you. But Moses wants somebody to go with them. Moses is still struggling with his leadership position, knowing that he is the man. You're the guy. You're the guy I chose for this, and you're the guy I'm going to use for this. And Moses is still wanting someone to go with them. He wants a physical apparition, a physical manifestation of God's presence to walk with them. He cannot see God moving all around them. God is talking to him the Bible will say, as a man talks to his friend face to face. But there's a transition that's about to happen. There's a transition that's about to come. And Moses wants to know, Lord, are you going to go with me? And I know today there are several people in this room, myself included, that if we're going to walk out of 2023 into 2024, I want to know, Lord, are you going to go with me? I feel like Moses felt, and I'll say what Moses said. Lord, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. If you're not going to go up, I don't want to go up. If you're not coming along, I'm not going along. If you're not going to be in it, I don't want to be in it. If you're not having nothing to do with it, then I'm not having nothing to do with it. And this is Moses' approach to the Lord. And Moses said, seeing how you brought up this people, you've not let me know who you're going to send with me. Yet, you say, I know you by name. And you say, I found grace in your sight. Moses is reminding God of what God has already told him. Don't forget what you said. You said, you know me by name. You said, I found grace in your sight. He said, now, if I have found grace in your sight, this is all true, show me your way. Show me. Show me your way. He says this, that I may know thee. Lord, you know me, but I want to know you. You know where I'm at, but I want to know where you're at. You know the way that I take, but I want to know the way that you take. And he said, consider this, that this nation is your people. God said, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give you rest. And this is where Moses will say, hey, that's fine, because if your presence ain't going, we ain't going. He said, for wherein shall it be known? How can we know that we found grace in your sight? Is it not that you will go with us? And is it not that we'll be separated and we'll be different from every other person on this planet? And the people that you've brought out of Egypt, those people will be your people from all the people that are upon the nation and the face of the earth. And the Lord said, I will do this thing that you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I do know you by name. And Moses says, show me your glory. What an ask. The Bible will tell us very clearly that we have not because we ask not. Moses asked. He said, show me your glory. And he said, I will. I am going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to show you what you need to see. I'm not going to show you everything you want to see. I'm just going to show you what you need to see. I'm not going to give it all to you, but I'm going to show you what you need to see. So here's what's going to happen. There is a place by me, and I'm going to set you on a rock. And there's a place there, and when my glory passes by you, I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the rock. And I'm going to put my hand in front of your face because you can't see me. If you see me, you're going to die. You can feel me. You can hear me. But you can't see me. I'm going to show you what you need to see. And he says, at the right time, I'm going to take my hand from in front of your face. And you will see everything you need to see. What you will see is, God calls it, my back parts. You will not see my face. You will not see me. You will just see what's behind me. We know that Moses in this moment will see creation. Moses will write what he sees in this moment. This is how we know how the world was formed. Because God will show Moses everything Moses needs to get Moses from where he is to where he's going. And what Moses needs to see is not God's now and not God's future. What Moses needs to see is God's past. Oh, hallelujah. Moses has been given an opportunity to not see what God is about to do and to not see what God is doing. But he's about to see what God has already done. He's about to see the finished work of God's prepared hand of his past. God's about to show Moses the power of his past. See, God today will never show us the future. I don't know what God is going to do tomorrow. And I don't know what God is doing right now. But I know what I can expect. See, when we're about to step into 1 year, leaving 1 year, a lot of us struggle because we want to know what's about to happen. We want to plan. We want a blueprint. We'll set up goals and we'll set up resolutions and we'll fill out vision boards and we're planning for the future because we believe that the power of what's about to happen lies in our knowledge of the future. But what God is telling Moses in this moment, Moses, you're about to step from one threshold into another threshold. And what you need to get you from here to there is not about what is going to happen, but it's about what has already happened. I wish I knew what God was going to do tomorrow, but I do not. And for myself and for many of us in this room, we don't even know what God's doing right now. Can I get three amens from the amen corner? God, I wish I knew what you was up to, because 3 + 3 ain't mathing right now. I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't know what's happening right now. And because I don't know what's happening right now, I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. I don't know what the future holds. And an uncertain future leaves us fearful and paralyzed and questioning and wondering. Moses wanted to know what is gonna happen. What's gonna happen out there? Who's gonna go with us? Show me your future. And God said, you don't need to see my future. You'll never see my future. What you need to see is my past. Oh, hallelujah. Because I cannot know what kind of person you are by what you might do. I can only know what kind of person you are by what you have already done. Oh, yeah. We follow people's potential all the time, but what we should follow is people's patterns, because what you've done is probably a good resemblance of what you are going to do. That works for me and you, and it works for God as well. Because if I want to know what God is about to do, all I got to do is look back and see what God has already done, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he made a way before, he's going to make a way again. If he came through before, he's going to come through again. If he opened the door before, he's going to open the door again. I don't need to focus on what God's going to do. I need to focus on what God has already done. Hey, I don't know what you went through in 2023, but baby, you're still here. You're still in the room. You're still alive. You still got breath in your lungs. So I don't know what God's going to do, but I know that he's kept you. I know that he's watched over you. I know that he gave you mercy, and I know that he gave you grace. So if I know his past, then I know his future. I don't know what God's doing tomorrow, and I don't know what God's doing today, but I know what I can expect. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. When I look into his past, I may be thrown in the fire, but his past tells me he's gonna show up. I may go in the lion's den, but his past tells me he's gonna show up. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but his past tells me his rod and his staff are gonna comfort me. Weeping may endure for a night, but upon further investigation into his past, joy is coming in the morning. Down your crystal ball, put down your magic eight ball. You don't need to know what's about to happen. All you gotta know is what's already happened. He's good, and he's good all the time. He will never leave you.
Woo. Hey.
When the devil reminds you of your past, somebody said you ought to remind him of his future. But I got a better one for you. When the devil reminds you of your past, then you ought to remind him of God's past. Because he ain't ever lost a battle. He's never been defeated. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. He's never seen his seed begging bread. He's never given up. He's never walked away. He ain't never seen a disease he can't heal, a mountain he cannot traverse, a river he couldn't cross. He ain't never been to a problem too big that he can't solve it. I don't know what he's gonna do, but if his past is any indication, it's gonna be amazing.
Hey!
Paul said, you ought to forget your past. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul told us we gotta forget what happened behind us. And most of us cannot move forward because we can't forget what happened behind us. We always look into the past. You cannot look to the past and see what's in front of you at the same time. You cannot look back and you cannot look forward at the same time. So Paul says, you ought to forget your past, while God says, don't ever forget my past. You forget your past, but you remember my past. You lay your past down, but you pick my past up. Oh, yeah. Too many of us, while doing the equation of life, when it comes to the subtraction side, we put in our past, what we've done, how we've acted, our failures, our disappointments, our mistakes, our missteps. We put that into the calculator, and it always comes up wanting and waning. But when we take our past out of the equation and we add his past into it, it's the only past that can bring a positive at the end of it. Because I know what I'm capable of, and in me there is no goodness, but I also know what he's capable of, and he has never failed. He has never given up. He has never walked away. He's never lost a battle. He's never been defeated. He's an on-time God. Moses said, I want to know. He said, I'll show you. He said, show me your glory. He said, you know where my glory's at? Oh, many of us would struggle today to find any glory in our past. Hallelujah. I'll stand on that box and shout it first. There's no glory behind me. But God said, all the glory that you need to know about me is behind me. Many of us struggle with this concept because we want to know where God is going. We struggle because we want to see the future. We want to see what's next. We want to see what he's about to do. We want to see what the next step is in our walk with God. But when God reveals himself, he never reveals himself in future tense. He reveals himself in past tense. We say, God, we want to know where you're going. But God says, you only need to know where I've been. What God is doing next is predicated upon what God has done already. His past is the foreshadowing of the future. Everything we need to know about tomorrow, we can learn from yesterday. And if he didn't give up on you yesterday, he ain't giving up on you today. If you're sitting in this room and you're breathing air, you may feel like God gave up on you, but I come with news. God has not given up on you, because if he gave up on you, you would not have woken up this morning. So here's what you need to know. If he let me live, hallelujah, if he let me live, then he's got a plan for my life. And I don't care how messed up you are, how messed up you messed up, or how messed up the devil's messed you up, God has a plan. Because if his plan was over for you, then you would be dead. But because you're sitting in the room today, that ought to give you enough evidence that I can learn about my tomorrow from my yesterday. He's still on the throne, he's still good, and he's still God. And I got news for you, the blood still works. I said the blood still works. He's a healer, he's a redeemer, he's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning, he's the ending, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace and the fairest of 10,000. He's the Rose of Sharon, he's the Lily of the Valley. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is God Almighty, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He is the one who was, who is, and is to come. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord, strong in battle. If I tell you who Jesus is, I gotta tell you who Jesus was. Who he is who he was, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody ought to shout right now, because you know your hope does not lie in tomorrow, it lies in yesterday. Somebody ought to take a moment and just declare over your 2024, he's going with me. He's going with me. He has not brought me this far to give up on me now. Woo. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Somebody just let the devil know, devil, I don't need to know nothing about you. I don't need to know nothing about your plan. I know my God is able. You ought to take a moment and just give him glory. Give him praise. Because the devil's a liar. And God was good, so that means he is good. And if he was good, and if he is good, he's going to be good tomorrow. There's power in his past. There's power in his past. There's power in his past. He'll walk up the mountain and he'll go down in the valley if he has to reach way down. Jesus will pick you up. You have never sinned enough. You haven't gone too far. You're not too broken. You're not too wounded. You're not too damaged. He will meet you at the point of your need. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Hey. Come on, if God's already been good to you, then you already know he's going to be good to you. Somebody shout glory.
Somebody shout, show me your glory. Come on, shout it, show me your glory. Show me what you've already done. Show me where you've already been. Show me what you've already handled. Show me the battles you already won. Show me your victory. Show me your power. Show me.
Ayarabokusha.
I want to encourage somebody. You have been so worried about what tomorrow's going to bring. You're so worried about the new year. You're so worried about what's about to happen. You're so worried what's about to happen. You're so worried about what's next for your life. And I came today to give you a word. The power's in his past. The power's in his past. Get your head out of the future and put your head in yesterday, because he's already come through the fire. I want to remind some of y'all, you should be dead. I want to remind some of y'all, you should be dead in your grave. You should have overdosed on drugs. You should have died while you was driving drunk. They should have killed you in that drug deal gone bad. You should already be dead. But God, but God, but God. And if he kept you then, baby, he's going to keep you tomorrow. You shouldn't be here, but by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm here. I'm here. For just a few minutes right here, you ought to just shout and give him glory and give him praise and thank him for what he's already done, because you know it is a prerequisite to what he's about to do. Some of y'all should have lost your mind. Some of y'all should be in a mental institution right now. Your brain should be blown because all the pain and suffering and heartache you've been through. But God kept your heart and he held your emotions. And look at you now. Look at you now. And if he didn't let you fall in 2023, he ain't gonna let you fall in 2020. His past is powerful. Somebody got to look back. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say I've been blessed. I got a testimony. My testimony does not come from some future moment. My testimony does not come from some faraway land. My testimony comes when I look back and I see the power of his past.
Hey!
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's already done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Where should you be? Where could you be? Somebody said, I don't know where I would be if it had not been for the Lord. And that's amazing. That's great. I like that. But what about this? What could I be if it had not been for God? Not where could I be? What could I be? When we think about that, most of us can draw a picture of what we could be. Maybe not where we could be, but what we could be if it had not been for him who stepped in treacherous moments when we didn't even know he was there. We was sitting on bar stools and God was there guiding us. We was driving around acting like fools, and before we even knew him, he said he knew us. He said, I knew you in your mother's womb. When you think about your past and what he's already done, you got to believe that God has already saved you from stuff you didn't even know you need saved from. And I'm bringing this down. And so God's greatest moment, here's what he tells his disciples. It's there. Here's the key. It's there. Last Supper. Somebody said, I wonder what they thought when God invited them to the Last Supper. What you mean last? Of course, they were not invited in that way. It's just Passover. Jewish folks gonna do what Jewish folks do. We're going to Passover, so we eat together. And as Jesus sits down with them, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 29, he says, for I received of the Lord that which is delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do, ready? In what? Remembrance. Because Jesus knew my power is going to be in my past. They thought, remember this night? They thought, remember this supper? They thought, remember this wine? What are we remembering? They didn't know that the future was going to hold a remembering moment. That God's greatest work could only be remembered, not foreseen. When God speaks about the future, he speaks in riddles. But the only thing that can solve a riddle is time. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets would prophesy about the future. And when they would prophesy about the future, it was shady details, shady dates. A construct of imagination that the reader would have to say, what does he mean by this? Me and you read prophecy today and it's so clear to us, but we're looking back. Imagine getting Isaiah on the day he wrote it. You'd be like, yeah, we need to go talk to Isaiah. He owns some stuff again. Imagine getting Micah on the day he wrote it. Yeah. Imagine living in Bethlehem when Micah wrote he'll be born in Bethlehem. Imagine getting that, but you didn't know nothing. You didn't know anything. And you saw a writing about the future. Like, though ye be small, Bethlehem? No. Micah, run that back, bro. It's Jerusalem. I mean, that's the capital city, bro. What are you doing? Talking about he'd be born in Bethlehem? Where would he be born at in Bethlehem? There's not even an urgent care in Bethlehem. It's going to be Jerusalem. Because the future always looks like a riddle wrapped in an enigma, and you got to figure it out. Me and you read prophecy and we have the key in front of us so we understand it, but imagine getting it on day one. And God has given many of you words about your life and about your future, and it's a riddle to you now. The only way that riddle will ever become fruition is when you look back and you see the power of his past and you say, oh, that's what he meant. You can only live it out, walk it out, walk through the door, and then you understand why the door was there anyway.
So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, the disciples had to be confused. In remembrance of you, why would we have to remember? You're sitting right here. Yeah, but you don't know what the future holds. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you a way. I'm going to give you a way to reach into my past. Because the power of salvation will not be what I'm doing. The power of salvation will not be what I'm about to do. The power of my salvation will be what I did. Because there's power in his past. The power of salvation does not come from your future. There is no study course you could take. There is no amount of money you could receive. There is no amount of goodness that you could do somewhere in your future life that would make you worthy of salvation. All you have to do is go back into his past, because it's already a completed work. The power of his salvation is in his past. And so today, we're going to remember. That's what this is about. This is what communion is about. It's about remembering what he did. And when we eat that bread, it is remembering that his body was broken. And when we drink the cup, it is remembering that the blood has already been spilled. Holy Ghost. I don't know if this gets you as excited as it gets me. But when I look back, I see that the power is in his past. And when his past, hear me, when his past meets your present, now you got a future. Oh, my God. Man, I want to slap somebody right now. When his past meets your present, because now is the time of salvation. Now you got a future, Brother Hayden. Now you can look out and say, it's about to be good. I don't know what it has been, but from this moment on, I'm walking in the favor of the Lord. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Why? Because his past touched my present, and I have a future. Holy Ghost. Let me just read for you, and we're going to move very quickly here. I don't want to hold you much longer. He said, when ye take ye my body, do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So just a moment here before we come get these cups. I'd like all over the room, would you stand with me? Would you bow your head and would you close your eyes? And would you take a moment? And before you even say a word, would you just close your eyes and would you examine yourself? Oh, no one can examine you like you can examine you, because you hold the key to every locked box in your mind. So would you for a moment just examine yourself? Lord, am I ready? I know that I'll never be perfect, but being worthy is different than being perfect. I want to make sure my heart is right with you, Lord. So I examine myself. I take inventory of my life. Am I ready for this? Because we're about to step into your past, and there's power in your past.
Now would you lift your voice and would you just begin to repent, and would you ask the Lord to clean you and wash you, Lord? Forgive me of my sins and forgive me of my inadequacies, God. Forgive me of my unworthiness and my filthy rags. God, forgive me, Lord, of my desires that are not like your desires and my thoughts that are not like your thoughts. God, forgive me of my attitudes and my spirits, God, my jealousy, my envy, my covetousness. God, forgive me of lustful thoughts and lustful ideas. God, forgive me for reaching where I should not reach and for touching what I should not touch. And God, forgive me today, Lord, of thinking what I should not think and desiring what I should not desire. God, only you know everything about me, God. So today, I just ask you, would you clean me? Would you give me holy hands and a holy heart? Would you consecrate me today, Lord, in your presence? I ask this in your name, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood of the Lamb, by the power of your name and the power of your resurrection, by the power of that stone that was rolled away. I pray it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Sing that with us again. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your heart right? Is your mind right? We'll begin today. If you will take the cup and you will take the very top little layer off, and you can take out that wafer. And as you're preparing to do that, his body was broken for us. I say this every time, but it never gets old to me.
because all he had to do was die to save our souls. To save us, all we needed was blood, because it is blood that is the recompense for sin. And so all he had to do was die, but he wanted to heal our bodies. He wanted to heal our minds. With blood, he took away sin, but with his body, he took away disease and pain and suffering. By his stripes, we are healed. And all he had to do was die, but Jesus paid it all. All. So today, as we remember his body, remember the brokenness, remember the suffering, remember the stripes, the crown of thorns, remember the wounds upon his body, the nails driven into his hands, the spear pierced into his side, beating him, slapping him, spitting upon him. He did not have to endure that. The blood would have been enough. But he gave us his body as a sacrifice. Can I take a moment here? Listen, God, I've never heard anybody talk about this before. But the other day I was talking with my wife. We're talking about, I was actually doing a little devotion with Isaac in our bed. And Isaac was reading in his little devotion Bible. And it talked about the covenant that Abraham made with God. Here's what God did. He told Moses, he told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go get these animals, and I want you to cut them and to gut them and to cut them in pieces and lay them out on the ground. Take these animals and cut them, just butcher them and lay them out on the ground. And Abraham did that, got the animals ready. God said, watch this. And God walked among those cut up, devoured, butchered bodies. God walked through those bodies. He told Abraham, Abraham, I make this covenant with you and your children, your seed. Your seed, Abraham, I make this covenant with you and your seed. Watch what God says. If I ever break the covenant with you and your seed, let it be done to me as these animals. And God broke his covenant. God broke his covenant with Abraham, and I'll tell you how he did it. He let us in. The covenant that he made with Abraham was for Abraham's seed. But when Jesus came, he came to save the world, not just the Hebrews, not just the Israelites. And so he broke his covenant with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I know I made this covenant with you and just your seed. However, I have to let him in. And so the only way I can let him in is if I honor my covenant and let it be done unto me as it was done unto these animals. And Jesus was butchered. They butchered my king. They butchered my savior because he broke a covenant to let us in. He let us in. He opened the door and he said, whomsoever will. It used to just be Abraham and the Jews. But when Jesus came, he said, whomsoever will. And so God had to be butchered. God said, let it be done unto me as it was these animals if I ever break my covenant. And his body was the breaking of the covenant. He shed his blood so that we could get in the door that was shut by the finger of God. He butchered himself so that we could get on the ark that had been closed by the hand of God. He let us on in a drowning and manipulated and diabolical world, a deviant people. He let us on. He let us on. He let us in. He grafted us in. And so today we remember the power of his past in his body. Would you hold it up? Put it on that cross. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men, unto me. Take, eat, this is my body. Somebody's being healed right now. Your mind is being healed. Your body is being healed because you understand the power of his past, what he did, what he did, what he did. Don't focus on what he's going to do. Focus on what he did. What he did is enough to save me. What he did was enough to heal me. What he did was enough to redeem me. What he did was enough to bring me out and bring me in. What he did. God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the wounds. I thank you for the stripes. I'm thankful. I'm thankful today. Broken for me, broken for you. I'm taking my time here. It's okay. I'm just taking my time because I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like some people are going to be healed from diverse diseases and pains and sufferings. Healing in the room, healing. And that's why he did it. I'm not trying to be fake today. I'm not trying to be, I'm just being biblical today. He came so you could be healed. His body was wounded so you could be healed. He was broken. He let us in. He broke the covenant. And it was done unto him as it was done unto them. He said, when you bring the lamb in the house, in the book of Exodus, when you bring the lamb in the house, you cook the lamb and you eat the lamb. Don't just put the blood on the door, but you eat the lamb. The lamb has to be in your belly. Before that, you take the blood of the lamb and you put it over the doorpost. And it is a representation that you're covered by the blood. And the death angel shall not pass over you. The death angel shall not visit your home. When he sees the blood, he will pass over. That's where we get Passover from. I don't know if you knew that or not. But Passover is when the angel saw the blood, he passed over. And I'm going to stay under the blood. I'm covered. When the enemy tries to attack me, I'm under the blood. When my past tries to come back to haunt me, it's under the blood. Because the blood still works and the blood still covers. Now, drink. This is my blood. Would you just let a sound of praise and worship enter this room? Glory, 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 glory. The power of your past, God, is saving. We remember him. We remember the blood. We remember the blood that came streaming down. We remember the blood that came streaming down. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood saved me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood. And it reaches to the high. His mountain, oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength. Come on, sing that out. It's power.
sing it with me one time. Oh, and it reaches.
Today, I'd like you to connect with someone next to you, because we represent the body of Christ. And when you remember the body, you remember the body. So would you reach over to someone next to you, close to you? Would you put your hand upon them, maybe hold their hand, put your hand on their shoulder, whatever may be appropriate. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for that person that is next to you. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray fervently for their life. I want you to pray for their 2024. I want you to pray that everything that God is going to do in their life will come to fruition. I want you to pray that every mountain will be torn down, every valley will be crossable. I want you to pray that the favor of God will rest upon them and their family. I want you to pray that they'll have financial blessing. I want you to pray that they'll have health in their body. I want you to pray that they'll have health in their mind, in their spirit. I want you to pray that they'll walk into every calling that God has put upon their life. Come on, pray fervently for your neighbor right now. The body is remembering the body. Healing is flowing through this house right now, because the body is connected to the body. Come on, that's it. Just for a few minutes longer. Just for a few seconds longer here. Just pray, pray, pray for them. Pray for their families. Pray for their future. Pray for their anointing. Pray for their gifting. Pray for their ministry. Pray for their calling. Pray for their children. Pray for their success. Oh, yes, God. God's gonna do it. God's gonna do it. I know he's going to do it, because I look back and I saw that he did it before. So I know he's going to do it again. Now would you lift up a voice of worship in this house? Come on, before we leave here today, you ought to just praise him for a little bit. Glorify your magnificent name. Hey, we praise you. We magnify you. We know what you did, so we know what you're going to do. We know what you've already accomplished, so we know what you're going to accomplish. We've seen your power, and we know we're going to do it again. Give somebody a high five and tell him he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you so much for joining us on this New Year's Eve service. Surely we have been in the presence of God. I can't think of no better way to end a year than to be in his presence. And I know your 2024 is going to be all right, because you made it. You made it. Hallelujah. Amen. One last time in 2023, would you stretch your hands towards me? I pray that when you leave from this house and you walk out of this year, that God would go with you. I pray that he would order your steps. I pray that he would guide you, lead you, guide you, and order your steps. I pray blessings over you today. I bless you. I bless your family, your finances, your children, your home, your marriage. I bless you with health.
happiness, and abundance. I rebuke the devourer for your sake, and I command a blessing upon you and yours now. Leave from this house and walk out of this year in the blessing and the favor of God. I pray it over you in Jesus' name. Let it be so and let it be done in Jesus' name. And the church shout amen. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be done. Amen. Woo. Somebody ought to shout for a little bit and say, amen, amen. So shall it be unto me. So shall it be unto me. So shall it be unto my house. So shall it be unto my children. So shall it be unto my ministry. So shall it be unto my anointing. So shall. Dismissed in Jesus' name. Give somebody a high five and tell them he's going to do it again.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Have a great new year. Tell somebody you love them on the way out.
Hey, say, I made it out all right. Say,
I made it out all right.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.